Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friend's music record shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue in the heart of the Grove. They've got brand new vinyl coming in every Friday. This Friday, they have records from The Replacements, Black Sabbath, Monkees, Devo, The Cars, Blue Man Group, Bad Company, Megadeth, Aerosmith, Motley Crue, and all kinds of stuff. So go down there, check it out. They've got this, or 10% off all new purchases, free beer from Four Hands Brewery, new vinyl spinning in store. If you want to find out more information, go to their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages, or musicrecordshop.com.
5, 4, 3.
Hey, we're Pirate Signal, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yeah. This is Rock Paper Podcast with Shane and his guest. You will listen to what he says.
Shane will drive to your house and bring you brownies and talk for hours. Cause it's Rock Paper Podcast.
Tell me why. All you gotta do is download Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast.
Woo!
Coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Inside Josh's van, hanging out with the guys at Pirate Signal. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello.
This is definitely a first for me, guys. I've done these shows just about everywhere. I've mentioned a little bit. I've done a show in Mall Food Court and Taco Bell's and Steve's Hot Dogs and, but never in a van. So yeah, this is definitely a new experience. So it's pretty exciting.
First for everything.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's lots of things you can do that are better in a van.
Yeah.
You know,
podcasting, man. Definitely better in a van.
On the road.
Let's go around the van and everybody say hi and introduce yourself so those at home are know who's talking.
Hello, I'm Josh. I sing, play guitar, and I enjoy the outdoors and backpacking and long walks on the beach.
Yeah.
I thought those were only for us, Josh.
Well, they are. I only do them with you.
He still enjoys them.
Well, you better. Okay. All right, Austin, say something.
My name's Austin. I'm the drummer, which gives me about 10 cool points, but I'm also a ginger, which knocks my cool points down a couple.
I gave you a couple extra.
Sitting comfortably. Does
that give me a couple extra? I don't know. People always refer to me as the redheaded stepchild.
You got superpowers, don't you, because you're a ginger?
Okay, fun fact.
Yeah, but they're like vampire powers. Only two, he has no soul.
Only 2% of the world has red hair and blue eyes, so I'm basically a majestic unicorn.
Very majestic.
I have a t-shirt that says
All right,
that says
and you,
so.
Brett?
We said we weren't going to talk about minorities.
Yeah, we're getting racist here.
I'm Brett, and I play guitar and make goofy noises with said guitar, and that's about it.
That's
my life.
You're not gonna say anything about pizza.
Oh, and honestly, I very much enjoy pizza more than any man should. But
that, yeah, I live with this fucker.
And Nick,
I'm Nick. I play bass, and I'm in the back seat.
He's not important.
He's holding it down.
Yes. So I've been seeing your guys' name around town for a while now. I just recently really got started to being able to see you guys a lot more. I saw you guys with the Divide the Empire at their release party at Pops, November or something. And then I saw you guys again at Halo Bar after the Greek Fire show.
That was a cool show. That was a lot of fun.
So I've been finally catching up, trying to make up for lost time, and seeing you guys around. And always sound great. And I was like, I'd like to get to sit down and talk and get to know you guys a little better. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
is that why you're sitting on my lap right now?
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, this is very comfortable.
If you feel something on your thigh, don't be alarmed.
let's talk about the band. How'd you guys get formed in this current lineup of the project?
Well, Josh would be the one to ask.
Yeah, that would be Josh's territory. This has been his band for God knows how many
started
years.
Started a little before.
Yeah,
the rest
it's been a while. I think it's been like, I think we really started in 08. I've played with, it's been a revolving door here for a while, but I think this is the lineup that's we're going to stick with. Started off with Andrew Gowron on the drums and Matt Bozer from Talk, who's holding it down on the bass. And then Mike Owen from Fumer joined. He's playing the bass, and then the bass player a couple of people quit, so it was just me and Mike, drums and guitar, and I would hook my guitar up to, you know, a guitar amp and a bass amp and go crazy. And then we had a few other members. Keith Kepman joined, Nick joined, and then Brett took Keith's place, and then Austin came into play, and it's been magical ever since.
Yeah.
I think we played probably the best shows Pirate Signal's ever played and been the most well received with this lineup for sure.
Okay. So how long have you guys been this particular lineup then?
Oh, I guess
six months.
June?
Yeah.
I joined right when the War of Art came out. Or right when you guys were finishing that up.
Yeah, that was November of 2013. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Josh and Nick are the two oldest members of the band.
Literally, in terms of how long we've been.
Yeah, they're geezers. Brett, you joined like a little over a year ago, didn't you?
Yeah, last January.
Okay.
Yeah, I had gone to see Nick's other band, Optimus Rex, play, and
who
that
are fantastic,
night.
Fantastic, by the way.
I walked in.
We try.
And I caught the end of whatever Brett's band was, Cardboard Rebellion. And I was like, "Holy crap! These guys are awesome!" And I stayed in contact with Brett ever since, and you know, we would shoot each other stuff that we were recording from home and whatnot, and. And then he ended up being our guitar player, and he's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Josh, did you know that I was there at that show when you met Brett?
You were?
Yeah, he was playing.
I was the drummer for Cardboard Rebellion. Yeah, I was there.
No way!
Yeah. We just never talked.
What?
I used to book Josh's old band back in, like, 2004-ish. And we didn't remember each other until I joined Pirates, and we didn't ever hang out or talk or anything.
I just wasn't special enough for Josh to approach.
Well, you moved to fucking Tennessee, so...
Well, you know, details.
I had a similar experience just a while ago with those guys, Divide the Empire, we mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
When I was recording with them, I got to talking about a show that they played in Wentzville, and, like, I didn't really remember them, but I knew, recognized the name, but I was trying to think of the fourth band on this bill that they played, and it happened to be Silent Hollow, who I've become good friends with now, and it was just kind of a crazy thing that we're all in the same room together, but I didn't realize it, that I, you know, years later that I would be hanging out with those guys and become a big fan of them, but...
That's the thing about St.
Louis.
Wasn't
the Divide the Empire CD release show the first show we played at with this lineup?
Yes, it was.
We were supposed to have one before that, but Brett was sick.
Yeah.
The first show that we played with this lineup was actually without Brett.
Right.
That's what I mean. With all four of us. The Divide the Empire CD release show.
Those are you saw our first show.
We were opening for Finger 11, and Brett came down with this illness.
Brett came down with a stroke, basically, and couldn't walk or talk.
Josh refers to as AIDS.
No, it was, what was it, cerebral ataxia?
Yep, there we go.
Basically, he couldn't walk or talk.
Speak.
Like, he had to
couldn't use his fingers.
He was there, but barely. Like, he was using
He got out of the hospital that day, and we were hoping he'd be able to play with us, and it didn't.
He was too
And happy. I had to make the call. We practiced right before the show, and Brett...
You didn't have to make the call. It would have been made anyway.
I know.
No, he's fucking playing. He did have to make the call, because I was looking at him. I was like, this isn't going to work, but I don't want to be a huge dick.
No, there's no way I was playing.
Okay. As long as you're aware.
He tried to play. It sounded like Marty McFly, you know, like when his hand was disappearing.
When it was exactly like that.
When the picture's fading away and he's like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to exist anymore. It was like that.
I can't move my hand.
Yeah. Which is sad because he actually has Parkinson's. So I feel a little bad about talking about that.
Well.
Oh, okay. I thought I was like, no, Brett doesn't have Parkinson's.
No, I'm J. Fox, bro.
He's like the spokesperson for Parkinson's.
Does Parkinson's need a spokesperson?
It's him.
Is that really?
He's done like commercials for it and stuff.
I wasn't aware of this. I need to get more involved in the Parkinson's scene.
Parkinson's.
We're making
scene.
A great impression.
We're very sensitive.
Also, we're sticklers for political correctness. So if you could please refer to all of us as Caucasians, that'd be great.
We just had that whole talk about gingers.
So how'd that 311 show, or not 311?
Finger 11. Very different than 311.
I would shit my pants if we opened for 311.
No, Finger 11 was super cool. They were very nice. They hung out with everybody all night. They weren't, they didn't act like rock stars. But we were kind of blown away because the Point used to play them once every 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And they just didn't draw any sort of crowd. It was really weird.
Hardly anybody there.
Well, there were way more bands there for the local bands.
Yeah, what happened was not that many people actually showed up for Finger 11. Everybody who showed up was there to see a local band, and then once their band was done, people were just leaving.
They were really cool.
The way it ended up was that we played in front of more people than Finger 11 did, which sucks. But
was it advertised well at all, or
because something happened with the point where they wouldn't run advertisements for it because they didn't have a new single out yet or something. I forget the details. I talked to
the venue owner.
Yeah, they did what they could.
Hi,
but it didn't seem to.
Who is this? C Mac.
Get near the attention that it should have.
All right. Yeah, they used to play the hell out of like One Thing and First Time and Paralyzer.
That Paralyzer song was the bane of my existence for like 3 years.
What was
changed the radio station so often.
What was really cool about that show though, when they played Paralyzer, they did it like a medley, and they combined it with Another Brick in the Wall, Pink Floyd, and the Genesis song.
Which Genesis song is that?
It's more the same, it's just a shame, right. That's all. That one. They all kind of have that same slow, groovy dance beat. That was badass.
Paralyzer is all I knew of them before that show. I'm really glad that I saw them, because I like them more now. I was not a fan of them before.
We played this other really badass show with this band called Dead Sarah. That was probably one of my top shows that I've ever been to. And we got to play it.
Her voice is phenomenal.
Dead Sarah is amazing. Yeah. You haven't heard of them yet?
Yeah, I haven't heard of them.
You should look them up.
Yeah.
We'll do.
They covered Dazed and Confused. Her voice was freaking perfect for doing Zeppelin.
Hmm. Yeah, and there was a ton of people at that show. It was a good time. Austin wasn't in there yet. We had another drummer, Jimmy.
Jimmy nailed it that show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Brett was playing guitar, and I think Brett had a good time, didn't you, Brett?
No, it was terrible. First time ever.
Right.
So one of the first introductions to you guys for me was Learn's local produce section.
Oh yeah,
that's when.
Yeah, that was our CD release show.
Yeah,
in 2013, when I was talking about.
So that was. It might have been one of the first ones, maybe even the first one that she did. And she had my buddy's Fivefold on there, and I started following her, posts and everything with that, and then your guys' name came up, and that's a lot of where I first started hearing about you guys, and Learn's since been on the show and stuff. I didn't realize we have a ton in common. I didn't realize we're both 30, we both love music, we both recently got married and stuff, and it was just a lot of stuff that we totally clicked on and had a lot of fun talking about. And
Is this Rock Paper Podcast or Match.com?
It's a little bit of both.
eHarmony.
Yeah. But she's been super cool about everything and helping, doing her part a little bit to help out the local music scene and stuff too, so that's cool. Getting a little plug on and stuff.
Learn was awesome to us. And
alternative rock music.
Visual or camera guy, Ben Vogelsang, is always really cool to us, too. He's come to a couple of our shows since then.
Nice. Yeah, we love Ben.
And who's the guy who's always at our shows taking those badass pictures?
Thomas Whitener.
Yeah. Thomas Whitener. Shout out to him, because he takes some badass photos.
And he is just super cool. He comes out to, so many shows, and every time I try to offer to buy him a beer, and he's like, no, I don't really drink at shows.
Yeah, and the other girl who did those black and white photos.
Jessie. Yeah, friends are on Facebook, but I forget her name. That was the first time I met
Jessie.
Her. I don't even think I met her.
Yeah.
Jessie McKay, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, those pictures were awesome. Did you see those?
Photos taken
of my profile picture is one of hers.
I saw...
I don't even know if I actually met her that night, though.
I used Whitener's pictures for the post today.
Yeah.
Those are really fun from the Halo set.
That was cool.
I have a framed one back here, actually, that Josh handed to me because I forgot it at practice on Sunday.
Austin's dad made some pictures of one of the photos that was taken that night.
Yeah, one of Thomas's.
Framed them all for us.
Oh, very cool.
For Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
So I read on your guys' Facebook that you looking to get to recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in the talks right now, trying to, figure it all out.
We've got more than enough songs to do a full length. We're just weighing our options. Recording's expensive, so we're,
right, do an EP or do a full length. It's...
We're trying to figure out, basically we're weighing our options between touring, recording, hiring a publicist.
And this is all kind of going on at the same time, and it's a little immobilizing just thinking about all of it at the same time,
Basically we need to win that lottery.
Sure, right. that
will be sad. Now,
that will definitely help.
I didn't buy any tickets, I'm hoping to just find one.
If we won that lottery, we could basically just, make ourselves be famous.
We would already be famous. We'd be all over the news.
That's true. Hey, we won the lottery, but in other news...
our name to the lottery winners.
We have this band.
We could just change our name to Powerball.
I don't know about that. Powerballs.
So, Powerball. Yeah, so...
That's a good band name.
Hopefully in 2016 we'll have Powerballs.
What'd you say?
Hopefully in 2016 we'll have some new release.
Hopefully, yeah, for sure.
Maybe 2018.
Yeah.
No, I think as soon as we start, we'll get it done fast. I wasn't a part of the recording process for War of Art, but I know that one was a little more drug out and stuff. I think we're well rehearsed enough that we should just be able to go in and throw the tracks down. I don't think it would take near as long as
most slam of the band. Thank you, man.
I've just been a part of.
In and out.
Yeah.
I mean, last time we recorded drum tracks, I got every...
Yeah.
I mean, at the time we were just doing, five songs?
Yeah, we started on one right when Austin joined, but ended up just... It wasn't working out, but...
I have to grab Josh another beer.
Okay.
I mean, keep talking.
No, it's...
We have to pause for the beer. We cannot continue talking while you're grabbing a beer. That is way too much.
No, we started on one with a friend, but it was just the scheduling wise, it just was not working out, and Austin had just joined, so basically he learned the songs and then went into the studio and laid them down. I think they're way tighter now, and
the parts
are much more solid and well thought out.
Austin hadn't slept all night that night, and he goes to the studio and hammers out these songs, and relatively quick, one or two takes most.
And they were solid. Even now, months later, when we were talking about recording, we were thinking about using those ones again. Even though he's more solid now, we still talked about using those.
I just think it would be better to just start from scratch because, like they said, I had only been in the band for a short period of time when I recorded those tracks.
A couple weeks.
And obviously, I know all the music a lot better. Things are a lot tighter. I've written new fills that are more fitting. It's just better to start over.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to hear some new stuff. Hopefully it won't be too long.
We won't keep you waiting.
So you guys are looking to tour a little bit too here coming up?
Yeah, we're trying to get something set up for mid-March.
Yeah. Is this going to be the van? Or are you guys...
We're probably going to end up renting a vehicle or borrowing.
Imagine pulling up to a venue in a minivan. How seriously do you think you'd be taken?
If we got all our instruments strapped to the top.
Oh, man.
With the tarp.
These guys
over
got a
course.
Minivan. They must be good.
Yeah. Hey, what'd that guy say? Don't
judge the cover of a book.
No, you can't judge the cover of a book unless you're looking at it.
Yeah. You guys need to take that to heart, okay?
He also told us
nobody in the audience knows what we're talking about.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Filament.
I'll tell you what we're talking about real quick. So we're at our rehearsal space at Lent Brewery, and we walk down the hall.
We were trying to find a quiet place to record.
Yeah, so we walk down the hall, and we run into this drunk bastard wearing no shoes.
It's like 10 degrees out.
Yeah,
he's
walking around these dirty ass floors in nothing but socks, which there's nothing wrong with. I mean, you want to be in touch with the building you're in, that's fine. But he just was going off.
just rambling about some nonsense.
I think it's very likely that he was homeless and just found the door left open.
That's fine. I'm cool with.
Well, I'm not.
I'm cool with having.
I'm not gonna kick
guy.
Him out. No. I mean, our room's locked. I'm just speculating that he probably didn't belong in there.
Are you guys making out with the camera up there?
Someone on Periscope is listening to the War of Art right now, and they say they like it.
Oh, well,
thank you.
Tell them to stop listening and listen to the podcast.
Right. They're listening to the wrong thing.
Sorry. No, please listen.
You're doing it wrong. Yeah, we do need you. More than you know.
I don't want to scare off our fans.
Yeah. So, I think that should be the next shirt you guys make up. They should be. They should have that quote on there.
Yes.
You can't judge a book.
A cover of a book unless you're looking at it. Yeah. I missed all this. I really am kind of sad it wasn't.
It was
wonderful.
I mean, it's changed my life already, guys. I'm living my life.
Make sure I look at all the covers of the books before
I
judge
good.
Them.
Yeah. Well, you have to be looking at it. How are you going to judge it? Like if you blink, there's a split second. We're going to have a ton of doubt in your mind about.
I mean, that's like the problem with kids these days.
They don't look
at the covers yet.
Well, the other problem is that they're
kids, just read
so
the
books.
Well,
right.
And the other problem is they're not looking at books; they're looking at Kindles and iPads.
How are you going to judge the
cover? Damn kids!
And the words are. I mean, like it's totally different.
Like, how are you going to judge the cover if you don't actually see it?
They can adjust screen brightness.
That's dumb.
All that.
Technology never got anybody anywhere.
When I was their age, I had to walk to school in the snow both ways, uphill.
It's a true story.
I was their age like 5 years ago.
When I was their age, nobody had cell phones. And that's a true story. My dad had a car phone.
We got some fans wrote in a couple of questions here.
Didn't they ask us about Star Wars?
Perhaps.
I hope so.
That might be one of them. Hold on, we'll get to them.
Okay.
I have some thoughts on that.
Well, Aaron asks, what is the meaning of life?
42.
Yeah, 42 is definitely it.
I'm going to go ahead.
No, that was it.
No, it is 42. No. It's been figured out.
But listen to my rebuttal here.
All right, fine. I just kicked over a beer. There's some beer left in it.
I think the meaning of life is 23, and I'm basing that solely on the movie 23, starring Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Well, whatever, Brett. I don't
it's in there.
I never saw that. Anyway.
Brett, I'm surprised you haven't said pizza. Pizza's the meaning of life, isn't it?
Have you not read the book Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? I can't even say
or
it.
Or even seen the movie.
I've seen the movie.
Well, it was in there, too.
The answer is 42.
Yeah.
I judged that book before looking at the cover, so...
You can't do that, man. You can't do that.
The cover of that book is wonderful. It's so minimalist, and it's just beautiful.
All right, Brett.
You're not looking at it.
I did look at it.
But you're not right now, so how are you judging
it? Brett missed the joke. He missed the joke, didn't he?
Yeah.
Completely.
I always miss
anyway,
the joke.
Anyway, meaning of life.
You're too busy thinking about pizza.
Blake wants to know the origin behind the name.
Hey, first off, Blake, thank you for enjoying Pirate Signal and listening to it. I hope to drink a Natty Light with you soon.
Shout out to Blake.
Let's see. The origin of the band name? Okay, that, Pirate Signal is any sort of, transmission that is trying to be, you know, suppressed or thwarted or, you know, something like that. You know, something run out of
broadcasting illegally.
Yeah, illegally, you know, in your mom's basement in your underwear, you know, your dirty underwear.
Sure.
Your underwear really have to be dirty.
All my
FCC
underwear is dirty.
Always trying right. to shut us down. None of that's true.
Right. So that was basically the idea behind it. But you know, it could be about pirates and booty. Yeah. You know, maybe if we were a rap band, that's what it would be. It might be like.
Maybe we will be. They haven't heard the new album yet.
So yeah, that's
the new album, Pirate Booty.
You know what? If we just sell out and become super mainstream, then we can change our entire demeanor to pirates and booty.
Yeah, I mean, our merchandise could just be called Booty. You know,
yeah.
We could have a booty store.
Why isn't it?
By the way,
our merchandise not called
we've
booty?
Got a booty
Josh
table.
Josh
actually
told
there.
Me to do that on the website a long time ago, and yep. I didn't do it.
What's wrong with you?
We need some.
He was sending mixed messages.
We need some big booties to man that merch table. And I'm not just talking girls. We're not sexist.
Oh,
guys,
man,
guys, you got big booties. That's fine.
Yep.
Mm. We'll roll with it.
Love a big booty on a man. I just go squishy squish, you know, in your hands.
I think we're learning some things about Josh right now.
Leave it to Josh to make it weird.
Josh, the only person in this car that just procreated and proved his heterosexuality.
Right.
Hey, you know what? Good
Take
for you,
that.
Though. Good for you. Finally coming out of the minivan.
Dan wants to know, what is your favorite type of sandwich?
Bread.
Ooh.
Ooh, Philly cheesesteak.
That's hard to
you
argue.
You mean Philly with. Cheesecake?
I think when I think of a sandwich that makes my mouth
so Philly
water,
cheese Philly cheesesteak,
so like a good Cuban.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Or a Reuben.
Reubens are good too.
Reuben or Cuban.
I already gave the right answer.
Your favorite sandwich is Philly cheesesteak.
So do we all collectively have to have one favorite sandwich?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Maybe we can replace Jared as the Subway spokesman.
Yeah,
hopefully avoid his fate.
God knows he's not doing it anymore.
Right, he's doing something else.
Yeah, I hope somebody's doing things to him.
Nick, really? What's your favorite sandwich?
Yeah, we already discussed
it. I'm thinking. I mean, are we counting like burger?
No, cold sandwich.
No,
sandwich.
Well, because I
it
love
can be
like,
hot.
A, like a good buffalo chicken sandwich.
Okay,
too.
There you go. There's
so
that's an
good.
Answer.
But I mean, but I don't know. I mean, Philly cheesesteak's pretty hard to argue with.
All right.
Buffalo chicken's good.
Poor man sandwich.
Like what would I make at home? Turkey.
Well, what? Okay, if I was on a desert island,
like if I'm buying
and I had
meat
to,
and making a sandwich at home,
I had to live off of one single meal. Or one single sandwich the rest of my life, it would be turkey and Swiss with mayo, for sure.
Oh, boring.
No, I'm down with that. Yeah,
whatever, Josh.
Recently, I've been doing a lot of ham turkey, Swiss cheddar, and then some, like, vegetable cream cheese on it.
All right, honest question.
Really good sandwich.
Has anybody here ever purchased Braunschweiger?
Yeah.
No,
but it sounds
have?
Disgusting.
It's delicious.
I didn't.
Are you 90
didn't
years
know
old?
They still made it. Right.
They used to serve that at the assisted living facility.
Yeah,
that
and
I
it's delicious.
With.
I didn't know that anybody under the age of like 45
My
had even heard of it.
My great grandma used to give it to me all the time, and it was the best.
Man, I worked with this black chick named Corvetta.
Well, that explains it because your
shout
great
out.
Grandmother passed
no,
down.
No,
like
shout
a
out to Corvetta.
The reason that I say that she's black, listen to my story. Is because
we were leaving race out of this.
Because we were one night we were serving Braunschweiger, or however you say it. And
hey,
she,
men can be whores too.
I guess. Sorry, go ahead. Braunschweiger.
Yeah, we were serving Braunschweiger at this place I used to work at, and she had never heard of it before. She walks by and reads the sign, she's like, Braunschweiger. I'll show you some brown swagger.
But now my grandpa used to make sandwiches that were a thick slice of Limburger cheese and onion, and that was it. And he made me eat that. He made me take a bite. Have you ever had Limburger cheese?
It smells like
rotten eggs.
My grandpa,
only worse.
I don't know if he still does it or not, but he used to make these sandwiches that literally was just bread, butter, and sliced up onions.
That works.
Yeah, but added some Limburger cheese, dude. That
this whole conversation is just making me think of bad Santa.
This is actually a great
question.
What is
it with you and the fucking sandwiches?
This is a great Santa.
How much lettuce do you want on his sandwiches? let's see what else we got here.
Sandwiches?
We should probably move on to the next.
Dan, he was killing it here with these questions. Wants to know.
Dan who?
Dan, your mom.
Is it? No, I just want to know if it's Dan we know.
I mean,
I was just wondering.
It's if a fan. It's not, Dan Rohde.
Nah, I don't know.
Ooh, I know him. He's cool.
Dan wanted to know also, if you won the Powerball tonight, what guitar and amp would you buy first?
Oh, that's easy. A 1959 X Marshall and a, well, the guitar's a little bit more difficult, but I would probably go with like a 59 Gibson SG, or no, Les Paul, I mean, or maybe a later SG.
Black Beauty, like the Epiphone you just got?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a bad call. Or that's always been one of my dream guitars.
Or a gold top.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
Do you guys go to the guitar store, like in Wayne's World, and be like, someday she'll be mine? Oh, yes. Someday
yeah.
she'll be
mine. Whenever we win the lottery, me and Brett are just going to walk up in there, and he's going to be like, can I pay for this in cash? Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Stairway denied.
No, stairway denied.
No, when I first started playing guitar, I kind of got into that mindset, and I started buying everything, and now I have like 10 guitars. Not counting the bass. The basses. I just mean guitars. And at some point, I realized that like if I want to like actually pay my bills, play music, I need to stop buying gear, because now I'm just like supporting a habit.
Yeah, for the first time in my life, I only own one drum set.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can ask Brett.
I'm trying to scale back on the gear. I really like the setup I have now. I just have a, guitar-wise, I've got a Telecaster Deluxe and a Vox AC30. I would probably get a much nicer AC30, like one of the hand-wired, higher-end ones, as opposed to mine. But I just really like that amp.
I'm pretty sure if we won the Powerball tonight, though, we could pretty much buy
anything. I know. I wouldn't see, that's why I haven't. I'm so broke that
expensive
that question
things
is really hard for me to even imagine.
Yeah,
I would get
out there.
I would get a Jagstang.
Oh, come on!
And a
Colt
PV practice amp. Yeah.
No, go with go.
Colt's still rocking that Jagstang.
Go with
he's
the
been playing that since I met him.
Go with the Jack White Sears guitar.
Or that.
Dude, he makes them sound awesome.
With a Crate practice amp, Nick. Don't you like the way Crate practice amps sound?
They're like my number one favorite tone.
Right.
That cracked me up when I saw K Clive and he was playing through like just a tiny little like 15-watt Fender practice amp sitting on a chair.
I mean, honestly, it sounds like he is on the recordings.
I know. No, I know. It's great. He just has an acoustic guitar plugged into that, and it was awesome. Yeah. I don't know. I stopped looking at expensive gear when so I don't even know what's out there.
I mean, what can I say? Cake Raw Dogs it.
I don't even know what's out there.
I was listening to Stern Show on the way over, and they were saying even after taxes, if you take the buyout or whatever, payout or whatever, after taxes and everything, you still would walk away with like $970 million or something like
damn.
That.
Yeah, the lump sum is like 900 something million.
So it's like $1.5 billion right now or something like that.
Hey, did you guys know that that if the government took all of the lottery
government
cash,
government with a B,
the $1.5 billion. And they just gave it to one person in the whole, one, 300, what is it, 350 million people in
the
United States?
300 million. Yeah.
300 million people in the United States. Each person would get like $4 million.
I have like six friends who shared that.
That's fact, man.
That's fact.
That's math.
Hashtag,
indisputable.
Hashtag real talk.
Hashtag,
no, you know what?
Greedy.
I had like six
government.
Friends who shared that.
You know
that
what
I saw.
You know what was stupid about that, though? I saw that picture, and obviously the real number is $4.33.
Yeah.
So everyone's like,
to buy a
yeah, we can go buy some Taco Bell. But I saw one that said each person would get $4.3 million. Let's go buy us some Taco Bell.
Any Taco Bell?
I could spend that much Taco
Bell. Yeah. Could you? Jesus.
No, I don't think it's possible.
Wow.
I mean, you could buy the Taco Bell.
True story. A buddy of mine who used to work at Taco Bell, they got one of those a box of the frozen meat that they use. But this
particular box must have missed the dyeing process. And so it was just translucent gristle, you know, like this just frozen translucent
stuff. That's like Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah. The meat that they used is apparently not even brown.
So
it's clear, and then they dye it.
While we're on the note of shitty restaurant service, I don't mean to talk shit on Applebee's. Applebee's is a fine establishment.
I worked there for quite a while.
But oh my God, don't go there because
yeah, I agree.
A microwave is their head chef.
They no joke. I worked there. I think we had 6 microwaves.
So
on the line.
Yeah, I worked there for like 3 days. And we ran out of broccoli cheddar
6
soup.
Microwaves.
And I'm like, hey, man, we need some broccoli cheddar soup. He's like, okay, I'll go get some. I watched this guy go back in the freezer, bring out, like, this giant brick of frozen soup.
Yep.
He cracked it on the corner of the table, like, just chopped off a hunk threw it in the microwave.
Well, in any of these industrial-strength microwaves, and the one I worked at, they're all right at, like, face level. So if I ever get a brain tumor, I know who I'm suing.
I think we have more chances of a nuclear holocaust based on what restaurants feed us from microwaves.
Yeah. Applebee's.
All right. What's the next question?
Can you grab me?
It was the Star Wars one.
Black Eyed Peas.
While you're reading a bit of trivia, Austin was my old manager from Applebee's nephew, and we didn't figure that out until after he joined the band.
Austin, could I get one?
Am I the bartender for the minivan?
Yep.
I don't know how to do that.
Josh, you want one of these?
All right.
Sure.
Here you go. Here, I got it. Awesome.
I think the last fan question is from Dan also. And he asks, is Kylo Ren an emo bitch in Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Of course he is. He cried like 3 times in the movie.
Explain why or why not.
I'll say yes and no.
I will say, at first I thought so. And then I started thinking,
the motherfucker killed his own dad. Come on.
No, but he cried before all that.
Yeah, he was throwing little hissy fits and stuff. Yeah. But that's the whole thing with the dark side. It's very aggressive and emotional.
It's based on not controlling your emotions.
Right, right.
Letting your emotions.
We're talking about Star Wars here.
I mean, did you see Anakin in Episode 3? What a big fucking crybaby he was.
Yeah.
The one thing I feel like people missed in that movie, because I heard a bunch of people talking about how, like, oh, he got his ass kicked by a bunch of noobs.
Right.
He got shot by a fucking
bowcaster. Yeah, they spent half the movie going over how powerful Chewie's bowcaster was just to set that up. And I feel like half the audience missed it. And was like, oh, my God, he's such a pussy.
Right.
The bowcaster.
Yeah, the bowcaster is badass,
he's
too.
He's bleeding all over the place and still chases him down and fights him. And everybody's like, oh, what a wuss.
Well, the bowcaster was, like, knocking out, groups of stormtroopers.
Yeah, they'd, like, hit the ground in front of people and it'd kill, like, 6 people.
Should they have found a different actor to play that part? Yes.
Probably.
Because that guy
He just didn't look intimidating.
Because that guy doesn't even look like he can drive yet.
Yeah.
Who?
Adam Driver.
Oh, right. He's cool in girls.
He is babyface.
I don't know. I thought he was a pretty good casting for that.
They should have had him grow a beard.
I'm all right with it. I think people are just trying to...
they're just pissed
people
off that he killed
to be this
Han Solo.
Crazy, awesome, badass, bad guy, but I mean, he's not. Well, like, that's kind of the point, is that there's, like, emotional depth to it, and...
Should we have said spoiler alert before all this?
Probably.
Just whenever you
just
post
when you
it.
Post it, yeah.
Just put spoiler alert.
No, see, if anybody hasn't seen this movie at this point...
I haven't seen it, but...
Are you serious?
I haven't seen the other ones either, so...
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Get out of this
thing. We probably sound like we're just talking a foreign language.
Yeah, I don't know what you... I blinked out whenever you guys started talking.
It sounded like just the teachers from Charlie Brown.
I think you may lose some fans over this.
Oh, yeah?
We should probably go watch the movie, like, tonight.
Or maybe
all
just
of them. Marathon them all.
Oh, my God. That
no, I don't know. I've watched...
The prequels are garbage, by the way, if you're going to watch them.
Yeah, I think I watched some of the stuff.
And a lot of 2 is good.
If you cut out the love scenes, 2 was
good. What is all that shit happening on the screen right there?
That means someone is liking what we're talking about.
Oh, snap. Oh, snap. We're famous.
It looks like somebody's smoking a pipe in the bottom corner. What is it? Like,
those are hearts.
I can't tell from back here.
They're little pink,
they're marijuana.
Fruity hearts.
It's like somebody's blowing bubbles.
Oh, speaking of marijuana, fun fact. They're opening a medical marijuana dispensary in Collinsville, Illinois.
No way.
Sure are. Yep.
Wow.
Heard that today.
Well, lucky you two.
Well, I don't have a prescription for...
You don't think you'd get one?
I mean, my dad could definitely prescribe me one, but I'm not saying he would.
I forgot who said it, but there was somebody who was like, you know...
Apparently, it's like the easiest prescription to get.
Yeah, that's what the joke was. Like, they were like, scary movie, scare me, and, you know, like, okay, here you go. And like,
I have anxiety, I have IBS, yeah. I have
and
anything.
That's actually true, though. Like, I do have some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
scary movies scare you.
Problem solved.
You know?
No, I was...
What's funny,
true
though?
True story, I was having stomach issues until I'm 31, and I didn't start smoking until I was 29. I was having all sorts of stomach issues, and then when I started, they
went
away.
What are you doing, Josh?
What's funny, though, is that you could walk into a doctor's office and say that scary movies scare me, and instead of suggesting not watching scary movies anymore... They're like, here's a prescription for medical marijuana.
You just need to get high before you watch.
You just need to get real stoned.
And if then, you were baked, it would be fearless.
But the sad reality of it is if you're watching a scary movie baked, then it's going to scare you that much more.
It makes you, it makes you think much more about it.
This week, Bowie passed, and last week... Yeah. Lemmy passed.
God rest him.
So, how you guys feeling about that?
I heard Lemmy passed. I saw it on Facebook, and I thought it was a hoax because those happen all the time. And I didn't honestly believe that Lemmy could or would ever die. So I immediately ran upstairs to the bartender at the place I was playing and did a shot of Jack with him. And then immediately went home and shaved my facial hair into Lemmy beard and wore that around for a solid week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He looked like an old-timey inventor from, like, the 1800s.
Yeah.
I did hear some, a movement going on trying to get Jack and Coke named the Lemmy.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I'm all 100% on board with that.
Yeah.
Brett, do you want to say something about Bowie?
Yeah, well, we stayed up, Austin and I stayed up super late on that night. And by the time I went to bed, I jumped on Facebook and I saw a friend post about Bowie passing, and I was pretty distraught all night. I ended up staying up all night and not sleeping at all.
So, I shared a video on Facebook of Jordan Rudess doing an incredible piano tribute to Bowie. He was playing a Space Oddity.
So good.
It really brought a tear to my eye. If anybody hasn't seen that, go to Jordan Rudess's page and look that up. It's really crazy. And he just I don't know what he did. I guess he just composed that shit like that morning. But it's intense.
Scott Weiland died too.
I was a little more distraught about that.
Yeah, I was. I mean, you could see it coming.
Lemmy for me.
For me, Scott Weiland's been dead for years.
Right.
I mean, he hasn't, he's been so strung out.
Well, that's no way to
I,
think.
Aside from the emotional shit, there was also a petition to get, they discovered four new heavy metals on the periodic table in the past year, and there was a petition to get one of them named Lemmium. So I shared that on Facebook for sure, and I think like six other people shared it off the one I posted, so I think it's catching on. That'd be really awesome if they did that. Yeah. But,
did you guys get to see any of those guys live?
I saw Motorhead live at the pageant. Loudest show I ever saw.
I wasn't even born yet when Bowie was in his prime, unfortunately.
I was hoping to catch Bowie, I was hoping to catch his tour after that last album, but obviously that didn't happen. So
I got to see Stone Temple Pilots open up for Aerosmith.
Whoa!
Wow!
Yeah, at Riverport. That was a cool show.
The time I went to see Aerosmith, Three Doors Down opened up.
Ooh. That's a goofy opener.
Doesn't the
that
guy
doesn't fit at all?
Look.
Well, and there was like a tornado that came through. They made us all go to our cars and, like, stuff.
Where was that at?
At Riverport. Riverport, yeah.
That shit happened to me when...
Oh, was that, like, the tornado that hit Bridgeton?
No, I don't remember.
The storm only lasted for, like... It, like, blew through so fast, I don't know.
Yeah, it might have not actually really been a tornado, just, like, a severe storm. Oh, okay. And, like, they made us go to the car and sit, and, like... So I watched Three Doors Down, and then I went back to the car, and then they wait till storm passed, and then they were going to tell us on the radio that Aerosmith was coming out. And it got to the point, like, we waited and waited, and it got started getting pretty late, and we had to work in the morning or something. And so we ended up going, and, like, I knew, like, as soon as we were going to leave, like, that's when Aerosmith would come on, so... And I think that's pretty much what happened too. But so I never got to see Aerosmith. So
that happened to me at Warped Tour. Granted, there wasn't anybody at Warped Tour that I immensely cared about seeing.
There never is anymore.
There never is anymore. But the last one I went to over the summer, there was a big storm that came through, and a lot of people just left. But everybody else who decided to stay. There were people all over, like security, like rounding people up and making people go under the. You know, the actual, like, amphitheater, the cover part, you know. And there were people packed in that bitch like sardines.
Hmm. Yeah.
We should totally cover some David Bowie at our next show, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
If you want to.
Like, yeah, like I know I've been talking about...
By the way, the next show...
Like, I think Bowie is badass, but David Bowie definitely, we gotta get this like, out musically.
We gotta get the next show out there.
Influenced by him.
Which is what?
I cover Space Oddity.
Well,
like,
for the people in St. Louis, it's going to be... The next show in St. Louis is January 30th at the Heavy Anchor, and we're playing with Talk, which is... awesome band from St. Louis.
They were just on this podcast recently, too, weren't they?
Yeah, not too long ago.
Yep. Those guys are cool. They're going to be playing. We're also playing with a band, I think they're from Nashville, called The Tip. And they sound awesome. I listen to them. They're, kind of like just the glam rock.
No, they're not just The Tip. They're The Tip.
Yeah, they're The Tip. You know, not just The Tip.
Their tip must be huge.
Yeah. It's gotta be. And then Dog of Panic.
From Springfield.
From Springfield, Illinois.
We're playing a couple shows with them coming up soon. We just played one with them.
Yeah, they're really cool guys.
And we're gonna be playing with them.
Hopefully in Springfield and in Chicago.
In Springfield on the 29th for their CD release show.
Cool.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's January 30th at the Heavy Anchor. Gonna be, $10 tickets or something like that?
No way.
$7 or something.
Yeah, maybe $7.
Heavy Anchor's never pricey.
Yeah.
Everyone should go to this show. This show's going to be a good one. We haven't played with Talk in a really long time.
If anybody hasn't seen Talk, they're probably my favorite local band. Not probably. I mean, they're definitely the most entertaining local band around, in my opinion.
Shout out real quick. My favorite local band is Midnight Reveille. Shout out to you guys, because you guys fucking rock.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We played with them. Those guys were cool. Pops.
Pops at St. Louis. This is worldwide podcast,
yeah,
y'all.
Oh, yeah.
So
global.
Yep.
Yeah, Midnight Reveille.
That was the show when you first saw us, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At so, Pops in St.
Same,
Louis.
All the same show.
Yeah.
I'm checking the event page. It doesn't have a price on there that I can
see. But $7. Yeah, those guys will be on the show here shortly. Trying to get around town recording with all my favorites. So.
You are just a little slut,
aren't you? Yeah, man, I get around, man.
A little band slut.
Yep.
You know, just...
Especially a Rye local bands.
I don't know, man. There seems to be no shortage of talent.
Your favorite local band?
Being completely unbiased.
Not counting Pirate Signal.
yeah, right.
Because obviously that's your favorite.
Right.
We're at least in the top 60.
Two.
62, top 62.
No, two.
I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I mean, it probably changes daily, really. Like, there's a ton of people I love watching, but I don't know if I can say I have a favorite.
Do you have a top three?
I love
The Urge.
I love The Urge. I love Aaron Kamen and the One Drops.
I have not got to see them yet.
Yeah, they. I love.
I watched some of their stuff online, and they like that Aaron Kamen dude could shred.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they're fantastic, man. Funky Bud Brass Band.
Okay.
Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals.
I think they were practicing tonight.
Yeah, they're right upstairs.
There's a ton of super talented people around town, and that's kind of the crazy thing about doing the show, man. It's like I started doing it just to want to hang out and talk to my friends and plug stuff, and then like all of a sudden like the show started doing work for me. I'm meeting more and more people. And I'm networking out farther and farther, and I realize there's so many great bands in this town that I had never heard of until started doing the show. So that's kind of been my mission.
St. Louis has a very disjointed music scene.
It really does.
It's depressing because there are so many good bands here.
Like, has anyone heard of The Mercs?
No.
Yeah,
I've never heard that name.
So good.
Yeah,
so good.
Me and Brett went and saw them, and those dudes are awesome. Like, they can hold it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, if not, you should go check them out, Shane.
Sure.
The Mercs.
I think a lot of bands from around here need. We all need to put a lot more effort into setting up shows and not just booking shows, but like going out and finding bands that we like and setting up shows with each other.
And collaborating.
So we can all introduce our fans to each other. Basically, there's. It's depressing to me, like, going to a show and then you're playing with, like, four bands you've never seen or heard of and don't care about. And knowing there's so many other talented and like-minded people that we could be playing with.
Well, because a lot of times when we play a show, especially if it's a smaller venue, we're playing in front of the other bands.
Yeah.
And their girlfriends and their families or whoever. And there's nothing wrong with that because it's all networking. You know, you meet these people, and working together just leads to bigger and better things.
Well, see, I was big into, like, this more alternative rock scene over at Pops. You know, a lot of my friends were playing over there and doing that kind of stuff. And then, but, like, there's a, you know, there's a huge...
South City.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of like this garage rock sound.
Yeah, yeah, South City, South Grand area.
Yeah. All
Bruiser
that,
Queen.
Yeah, pretty much everything on
the
Cherokee.
The Vigilettes. Have you seen them yet?
I
That's my sister's
them. Yeah,
band. They're pretty cool.
I talked to her at that Thanksgiving Eve talk show. I was talking to her.
You talking to my sister?
Yeah.
What are you talking to her about?
Talking about them. But yeah, like so. There's just there's a lot. Like I said, you know, even myself, I thought I knew quite a bit about St. Louis music, and I realized I didn't know shit. And I'm discovering more and more new music all the time. So
that's how I feel. And I've I've been around the local scene for like 4 years now.
Yeah.
And since I joined Pirate Signal, I'm like, well, I'm an idiot. I didn't think we had this much talent here.
Right. Well, that's why I'm trying to make it my life. Goal to to try to introduce people to a lot of new music around town, and so trying to do my part. So
that's a good goal. What are some of the recent local bands that you guys have seen that really impressed you?
Fumer. Fumer's great.
Fumer.
Living Room
awesome.
Lava.
Oh, fantastic!
They need a new drummer, but I freaking love that band.
Fantastic!
Like just their sound in general, I don't know.
Yeah, they're a little off kilter, but it's so good.
I love it.
It's so good.
Fumer, remember we went and saw them. You haven't seen them?
Though? I don't think so. You told me I should look at them for booking a show, but I found other bands before.
Damned Holy Rollers is fantastic.
Hell
too.
Yeah,
they are so good.
Have you seen them?
I saw Damned Holy Rollers and Fumer in one show. That was great.
Yeah, I don't know any of these.
Was
guys.
That show?
Yeah, that was the same show.
Yeah,
that was a good show. And
what was
Brett,
the band that was in the middle? They were from out of town. They were really good too.
Brett and weren't Austin? You were
no,
there.
He wasn't there.
Oh, he wasn't. Oh, that's right. Brett wanted to go see a Queens of the Stone Age tribute band that night, but I talked him into going and seeing Fumer and Damon Holy
Rollers.
And then
Fumer ended up covering a Queens of the Stone Age song, so it worked out perfect.
Yeah, and it was good.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions also for you guys that I wrote down, kind of getting into this local thing, but we can broaden it out to national. But what would a dream lineup be for a Pirate Signal show? What would, if you guys could do something, put together?
I would say probably, for me, it would definitely be Talk, and Damned Holy Rollers and us.
Yeah.
I and think Fumer.
I feel like Fumer may be a little... Yeah, we could go with Fumer, too. That would be sick.
Yeah.
That I think that may be just too much talent in one room, though. It might be too much for people to handle. That would be a killer show.
I would have to agree with Brett. And I know there's a lot of other, you know, killer bands out there.
Throw Mercs on in the mix, too.
The Mercs,
too.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
This is going to be an all-night event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nick, what about you? What do you
I mean, I just did our Cedar Lee show. I booked, like I said, Living Room Lava. We played that one show with them at 2 Cents Plain. I booked a Cedar Lee show from my other band, and they were one of the first people I contacted just because they hardly ever play, but they're so good. I wish they... I mean, I know they're looking for a new drummer right now, but they were awesome. totally different genre, but Scene of Irony is always a blast.
Yeah.
Like, just fun to hang out with, and... Always
Mo.
Doing shots.
Shout out to Mo. You know Mo?
Nope.
No?
Oh,
you don't
Scene
know
of Irony?
Mo?
Mo's, yeah, you should do one of these with Scene of Irony. They're great guys. Mo's huge into the local scene, but more punk rock scene.
Yeah.
But just awesome dudes. He used to run internet radio show off Riverfront Radio.
Okay.
I mean, years ago, like 2006-ish, went on his show a few times with my old band. But great guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the other thing is, like, because doing your dream show, it's not just having great bands there, because you could have, like, 6 great bands on the bill and then, like, you know, 5 fans show up. It also just depends on who's going to be there that makes it a party. And
sure.
Well, that and all the music kind of needs to complement each other, you know?
Yeah. I honestly like variety in a show, too, though.
Well,
like, for it to be, you know...
Yeah, well, I mean, because I was going to say, for our perfect lineup, I would put Midnight Reveille in there, just because they are hands down my favorite local band. But, at the same time, our music and their music really don't mesh together. They have a real, you know, light, kind of poppy, funky sound, which I love... But
I think they're a lot more blues.
Well,
yeah, they got
bluesy,
that blues
funky.
Yeah.
But that's just not really the style that we play.
Yeah.
And as much as I love listening to that music, I would find it a little weird if, you know, we opened up for them or they opened up for us.
Sure.
It's just two very different ends of the spectrum.
I love that, though. I love going to shows where none of the bands sound anything like each other. It just breaks up the monotony.
I like it when they sound similar, not like completely different, like have a, you know, someone singing country.
Wow, no, nobody likes country.
Well, I like country. I like old school country.
You're wrong.
When you say country, people think Toby Keith, and
right.
If you mean Johnny Cash, just say Johnny Cash. Like, you know, the word country has been hijacked, but I get what you're saying.
I like bluegrass, but...
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of bands. I would like to play with Dead Sarah again.
They were awesome, and I would totally put them any day.
Let's go around the van, and what was your first concert?
Huh? Weird Al.
Nice.
No, no
Nick's,
joke.
Nick's
really?
First concert
Weird
was
Al.
Weird Al.
First non spoof artist, Carlos Santana, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
I saw Weird Al, man, up in Columbia.
He puts on a great show.
Yeah, incredible.
He's hilarious.
Did, like, a costume change really for
every song. His makeup people must be gods. I mean, they're so fast.
When I saw Iron Maiden, Bruce Dickinson did the same thing. It was like
on a fat suit, including fat fingers?
Well, no, but
every
other song, he like his hair was different, everything looked different.
Huh.
I don't know how he didn't catch on fire with all the
product
he put in his hair. Because he was standing he was standing, like, 10 feet away from these, like,
man.
Huge flames.
Yeah, Weird Al was... Weird Al puts on a hell of a show.
Yeah?
Experience.
I would consider my first concert... I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Those are my all-time favorite band. That's my all-time favorite band. Always have been, always will be, as far as I can see. But I saw them at Scott Trade with my brother-in-law, who's a cop. And the most vivid thing I remember is just jamming our asses off, and there were tons of people around us smoking pot, and he was like, I could bust so many of these people right now. I was like, don't be that guy. Was man. That
the
don't be that guy.
The Stadium Arcadium tour?
No, it was actually pretty recently.
Oh, okay.
2010, I want to say.
Yeah, that probably would have been. No, Stadium Arcadium would have been
before. And that wasn't Sorry. My that wasn't my first concert, but that's what I consider to be my first real
experience,
awesome
like,
concert experience. Yeah.
How about you, Brett?
Well, my first concert period would have been Bobby Shue, which is a jazz trumpeter. I think he may have passed away somewhat recently, but I don't remember for sure. My first rock show was Styx Foreigner in Kansas, and that was awesome. Although Foreigner totally showed up Styx, which was the headliner.
Who are we going to see in Wichita when you and me broke down?
That was 10 years Seether
and I
Empire,
right?
Empire.
Yeah. So Brett and I are driving to Wichita to see this band. I'm getting in for free because Brett's like, I just have this extra ticket. Do you want it? And I was like, yeah, I'll drive down there. My car starts overheating. And we break down in Boonville, Missouri. Have you ever heard of that? Boonville, Missouri?
No. I'm sure I passed through it.
It's like a half hour out of Columbia.
Yeah, yeah. So we're... And my dad, I live in Muskoda, so I'm sure nobody knows what the fuck that town is. But that's about a 3.5 hour drive from Boonville to Muskoda. So my dad had to come and get us. Well, first of all, the tow truck guy showed up, and Brett decided he was going to walk like a mile and a half down the road to a gas station to get a drink. And while he was walking back, the tow guy showed up through my car on the lift, and he was like, are you coming? I was like, well, my friend's still like a half mile down the road. What do I do? Can we wait on him? He's like, no, man, I got a time schedule to keep. We got to go right now. And so I ended up having to leave Brett stranded on the side of the fucking interstate. And he had to, and this is in the middle of summer too, so it's like blistering hot. He ends up having to walk like 4 or 5 miles down to this Ford dealership that this guy took me to. That was a
couldn't drive a half mile to go pick him up.
Yeah, I guess not. That was an experience.
Yeah,
I guess. I think my favorite or my first real rock and roll kind of show experience had to have been seeing this band called Grandma Train. You laugh now.
Of course Josh says the band.
Well,
no
duh, we're going to laugh at the name. Grandma Train?
Grandma Train. Grandma Train.
Like grandmother? Grandma?
Right. Well, it's G-R-A-M-M.
Like gramophone.
Grandma.
A-T-R-A.
I love you, Grandma.
A-I-N. You know, Grandma Train.
Grandma Train.
Those dudes killed it. It was a three-piece band that sounded like at least four members.
That sounded
Pete
a lot
Stewart
worse than I intended it to.
Is the singer, you know, songwriter, guitar player for that band, and he is badass. And I got to see him, and I was so thrilled. And then he became my friend on Facebook.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, friend in quotes, you know, like friend. But yeah, he accepted my friend request, and
Facebook
I was like,
friendship
holy crap
is like a legally binding friendship.
Okay,
you are friends.
All right, I didn't know that. I thought it was just kind of like a
no. It's not just a, like a term. It's
you are not excited enough for this,
dude. Pete Stewart is my Facebook friend.
Friend,
yeah.
He is your friend.
Yeah. All right, guys. This has been a lot of fun.
Of course.
It's unique. It's in a band, you know?
Yeah.
It's stayed nice and warm.
Yeah.
You know?
This actually, yeah, I feel like this actually worked out all right.
This,
I'm having a good time.
It's comfortable. You sit in a nice, you know, chair with a soft seat.
Yeah.
So anytime you come back to interview us again, we're just going to default to Josh.
Sure.
Band.
I mean.
Yeah, even if it's summer.
I might be bringing some other bands by to the van, and we'll record.
Josh
is
the van for everything.
Cool.
Josh, I need to borrow your van.
Again.
So, yeah, again, come see these guys January 30th at the Heavy Anchor.
$7.
$7 to see
Plain
them.
Latak
and Dog.
If you're under 21,
Panic.
I imagine there's going to be a surcharge. But
It might be 21 Up. Heavy Anchor, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
Oh.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
we'll double check, but I think they usually are.
Well, disregard what I just said then.
I mean, if you're under 21, we'll just sneak you in. That's cool. I mean,
we'll just give you a fake mustache.
Yeah, there we go.
And nobody will question it.
Or we'll just give you lots of vitamin E, and you can grow a real mustache.
On second thought, if you can't grow a mustache, we don't want to hang out with you.
Take some beaver steroids.
We can throw some tunes on here.
All right. What do you guys want to listen to?
Do we have any suggestions?
Silver Tug is probably the best sounding one.
I say we play Blood and Guns.
No.
Come on.
How many can we do?
I usually do like one at the beginning, one at the end.
Okay, Silver Tongue at the beginning, Salt on Wound at the end.
Okay.
Salt on Wound you can find on, that's on the War of Art EP, and that's on iTunes. And
Spotify.
Spotify.
And you got,
I'd say Silver Tongue and Salt on Wound.
And we got an official Pirate Signal Facebook, Twitter, and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, Pirate Signal Music. .com, Facebook / Pirate Signal Music.
PirateSignalMusic.com will have links to anything that you need.
Or if you're real old school, you can just come to our houses and we'll hand you a CD. Because we're people.
Just Google Pirate Signal, and if you find a rap band, that's the wrong one.
One on Spotify? It was like,
Pirate Signal.
The Pirate Signal was a rap group out of Denver.
And then there's a Pirate Signal, which is an album by Rinkadink.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the same. That's the band. That's the Pirate Signal.
Yeah, group. Rinkadink.
Yep.
Nothing against them. I'm just saying. If you find the Pirate Signal, it's a different thing.
And I think that's what is Rinkadink EDM, I think.
Yeah, that's what I've.
Rinkadink is.
I saw that and I was like,
pop. Rinkadink, Rinkadink, Dink.
But that, yeah, the Pirate Signal is not us. We are Pirate Signal.
Yeah. I'll throw some tunes on. And, so thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you taking some time out to hang and keeping me warm here in the van. It's been a lot of fun.
So. Cool, thank you, man. We appreciate this. Like, I always love just seeing your updates of, like, who's playing where every night and stuff.
Yeah, all right.
Me too.
We're knocking over beers in here.
So many.
Sorry, Josh. Your family van is going to smell like booze.
Oh, it was empty.
All right, guys. That's a wrap.
See ya.
So long, everybody.
Adios.
You know there's a time for beginnings, time for an end. Never saw it coming. You were my only friend who saw me. I'm turning on another light. Silver dawn is slipping by my mission. I got a feeling. Things won't turn out right this time. I'm falling to another light. Bringing back hallucination, timeless illusion. All I'm to step on, crack but never scar. Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.